Good morning.
Good morning.
Thankful I'm walking a little better this morning. I pulled a muscle or something in my hip on the left side, and I've been for the last week where I couldn't hardly walk, been crippling around, but walking a little better this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. Beautiful day that we have to worship God in, and as I announced back last Sunday, I guess it was, today we're going to be talking about Jesus loves me, this I know. I chose today not to do the PowerPoint on purpose. I don't want us to get in this electronic age to where we forget how to use our Bibles. You know, it's music to my ear when I call out the scripture and I hear pages turning in the Bible. It reminds me when I was preaching at Somerset, one of the ladies that attended there all the time had a son that lived down in Mississippi. He came to visit with her, and he told her before he left that day, he said, "Mom," said, "it sounds to me like you don't have confidence in your preacher." She said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, because every time he calls out a scripture, you can hear people turning the pages in their Bible." She said, "He wants us to do that. He tells us to do that." Said, "That's one of the things that he requires." And so it's nothing shameful about turning in your Bible. I like to hear you turn in the Bible and to find the places. And I'll try this morning to give you a little more time to turn to the passages. I know I have a little bit of an advantage over you because I have a sheet here before me where I have all the scriptures typed out on this sheet where I don't have to turn in my Bible. And so I get a little fast sometime with calling out the scriptures, and it doesn't give you hardly the time that you need to turn to those passages. So I'll try to give you a little more time this morning as we turn to them. If you grew up in a Christian home and were at Bible classes and the vacation Bible schools and things like this, I know that one of the first songs that you remember in your life probably is "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And that's one of the first ones that I remember too. "And This Little Light of Mine," that's another one that they were singing. "The wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man's house fell flat." You remember that? And all those songs that we sing. But in this song this morning, I want us to think about that as we get into our lesson. And if you know anything about the book of John, you know where the reading came from this morning. John chapter 17 is where Jesus prayed for his disciples. You go all the way back to the first verse of John 17 and all the way through John 17 and 17. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." But in John 17 and verse 20, it begins, Jesus is concluding in a way praying for the disciples or the apostles. And here he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them that will hear because of these, the words of these apostles." Well, who is that? That's us, isn't it? He prayed for us in the latter part of this chapter. And so we're talking about that this morning. So one of the first songs that we remember is "Jesus Loves Me." It probably has been sung more than any other child song that you can think of. And I say that to make this statement, that this is referred to as a child song, but I don't think it's a child song. I think it's everybody's song. I think it's as much a grown-up song as it is a child song. Jesus not only loves children, he loves grown-ups as well. And I don't think there's any doubt but what he loved children, because during his work here on the earth, he set one small child on his lap, and he said, unless the disciples became as that, humble themselves and became as that little child, that they could not see the kingdom of heaven. In other places, he'd say, do not refuse to let them come. He'd say, if one offends one of these little ones, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the depths of the sea. So I know that Jesus loved little children. There's no doubt about that. But I believe he loved grown-ups as well as he did little children. If anyone who gives his life for another is not one that shows his love, then I don't know how it would be shown any better. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, and you may want to open your Bible to the book of John. There's going to be several verses down through here for the next little while in the book of John. You'll be turning back and forth from one place to another. But in John chapter 15 and verse 13, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend." Well, Jesus laid down his life, and And just like Tim was talking about this morning, all the suffering that he did, and when he was there on the cross and going up and down on the cross, you remember his back was in shreds probably from where he had the beating before he was there, and that cross was just a rough old tree. It wasn't anything smooth. And so as he moved up and down that cross, it was tearing that back up, and much pain it was there. And so this, we know anybody that would give his life for another, that shows his love more than anything else could show it. How many ways can we list in our own minds that Jesus loves us? If I gave you a pencil and a piece of paper this morning when we came in and told you to list all the ways in which it would show that Jesus loved you, how many of those would you write down? Well, that's what the lesson is all about this morning. We're going to talk about all those ways in which we can think of that it shows Jesus loves us, that we can know that he loves us. I'm sure that you'll be able to name some that I don't have on my list, and probably you may be reminded of some that I have that you hadn't thought about for a while on the list. So how may I know that Jesus loves me? That's what our lesson is all about this morning. And I have some 14 different ways on my paper here that I have written down that I can know that Jesus loves me. And you may want to write those down to have them for yourself. And then you may add others to those. I'm sure that you'll think of some that I don't have here. But here we go with the lesson this morning. How may I know that Jesus loves me? Turn in your book to John. You already should have the Bible open at John. Turn back to chapter 1. We're going to notice verses 9 through 11 to start with. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. One way that I can know that Jesus loves me is because he made the world for me. You remember back when God created man, Adam and Eve, he made a garden for them and put them in that garden, and they were to dress and keep the garden. Well, for me, the Lord made the world a place for me to live, a place where it could be pleasant, and things that were pleasant to the eye, and things that would be pleasant to us, to where we can exist here, and made it to where it is self-supporting, to where everyone lives and one thing helps another to live, and all this was set in motion by the Lord in the very beginning. So let's read now John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not." And he goes on to say, "But to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So Jesus Christ made the world. He made the world for me. He made the world for you, a place in where we can live, where we can exist from the time of birth to the time of death. And it's in this time that we are responsible for the way we live and the way that we act. And Jesus wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. And so he was in the world. He made the world. So I know Jesus loves me because he made the world for me. But not only that, also in the book of John, in the same chapter, in chapter 1, and down at verse 3, we're going to read a verse again. And here's another reason I know that Jesus loves me. He made the world for me, but he also made me. You know, that's another reason why I know that Jesus loves me, because he made me. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "All things were made by him," talking about Christ, "and without him was not anything made that was made." And so I know that Jesus made me. But if you have any doubt about that, then turn back to the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, all the way back to the front cover of your Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, down at verses 26 and 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So I know then that Jesus loves me because he made the world for me. But then he turned around and made me. You know, God didn't have to make me in his own image. He didn't have to make man in his own image. He could have made man in any image he wanted to. But God chose to make me like him. And to make you like him. So I know that Jesus loves me because he made me. Another thing that shows me that Jesus loves me is that he left his home for me. You know, it's kind of hard to leave home, place where you've grown up all your life and so forth. And that's one thing about a preacher. You never have any place you can call home. My children don't have any place, hardly, that they refer to as home, because they've lived at different places in my preaching. And some of them may call one place home, and the others may call another place home, because the place where they stayed the longest in their growing up years is where they may call home. But Jesus left his home for me. And when you think about the home that Jesus left, is the place that we're seeking to go right now. All the work that we're doing and the life that we're living is trying to get us prepared and ready to where we can go to that home that Jesus left for us and came to the world. In John again, in chapter 16 this time, John 16 and down at verse 5 of that chapter. John chapter 16 and verse 5. He says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where goest thou?" Now also in the 16th chapter and in the 28th verse of that same 16th chapter, he says, "I come forth from the Father, and I came into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to my Father." So Jesus came into the world. Again in the book of John, back at chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now it doesn't sound much when we talk about the Word, except when we get down to the John 1 and verse 14, it explains what this Word is. John 1 and verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so Jesus Christ is that one he talks about that was there with God in the beginning. Nothing was made without him. He left his home there in heaven. He was with the Father, and he left his home to come to the earth. Now I want you to notice this one in Philippians. In the book of Philippians in chapter 2, we're going to read verses 5 through 8 in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Jesus left his heavenly home. He became as a man, not just a man, but he became as a servant in order that he might do what he intended to do. Luke 19 and verse 10 tells us he came into the world to seek and to save the lost. And so in order to do this, Jesus left his home to come into the world. That shows me that he loved me. Another thing that shows me that Jesus loves me, he told me that he loves me. Now that ought to be enough when Jesus tells us. Back to the book of John again. In chapter 15 this time, and down at verse 9, John chapter 15 and verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue in my love." Jesus said, "I love you." In John 15 again, verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter where you are, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend." So Jesus tells us very plainly there in John chapter 15 and also in the ninth verse in verses 12 and 13 that he loves us. And that ought to be enough when he tells us that he loves us and has shown us in so many ways that he does. So I know that Jesus loves me because he said he did. Another thing, Jesus loves me and I know that he loves me because he set an example for me to follow. In 1 Peter this time, if you go down to chapter 2 in 1 Peter, and we'll read verses 20 through 23 in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. "For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Now notice verse 21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Now, Jesus was an example for us. What did he do? He suffered for us, even the death on the cross for us. And so if he suffered for us and he left us an example that we're to follow in his steps, that means that we ought to be willing to suffer for him, and not just for him, but for our fellow man as well. In verse 22, he says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And then we'll turn to the book of Hebrews, which is not far from 1 Peter there. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Christ, also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that is that hath power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus then suffered death on the cross. He was like a man. He came to the world. He set an example for me to follow, and I'm to follow in his steps by serving him, by teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, by suffering for his cause, by suffering for my fellow man. And so this is an example that Jesus set for us. Another way that shows me that Jesus loves me is he prayed for me. You know, it means a lot when we are sick or hurt or something and we have somebody pray for us, or if we just need somebody to pray for us because we're weak, we need strength. In John 17, this is the prayer that we talked about this morning. John 17, verses 20 through 26, that was read in our hearing to start with. I want to turn back to that again and notice where Jesus prayed for us and emphasize that especially as we notice this morning. In John chapter 17, as we said, this is the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. You can go all the way to back to verse 1. It'll show that. But I want to start with the 20th verse in John 17. Neither pray I, and as I said back, if you go back up in the verses prior to these, he was talking about his apostles or his disciples there, and he was praying for them that they'd not be taken out of the world, but God would keep them from the evil one. And then he gets down to verse 20, and he says, neither pray I for these alone, I'm not just praying for the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. Whose words? The apostles' words. And that's what we have in the Bible. We have the words that were written by them. And when we study the Bible and we believe the Bible, we're believing because of the words of those apostles. And that's what Jesus was praying for here in John chapter 17. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What love could be more than this, than Jesus wanting his disciples to be like he and his Father, and the closeness that was there, the unity that was between he and the Father. In verse 22 it says, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that those also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus was about to be glorified, about to go back to the Father on high, and he wanted those men to see the glory that God had given and placed upon him. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So I know then that Jesus loves me because he prayed for me that I might be the kind of person that I ought to be. Another thing that shows me that Jesus loves me is he laid down his life for me. In John chapter 10, and down at the 15th verse, John chapter 10, and down at verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Couldn't be any plainer than that, could it? Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. John 15:13 said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost, or he died. And Tim mentioned that at the table just a little bit ago from Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And so Jesus then laid down his life for me. Person couldn't love any more than that. He couldn't do any more for us than giving his life. And that's what Jesus did. Another thing that shows me that Jesus loves me is that he rose from the dead for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes concerning the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, if Jesus had not risen from the grave, then he wouldn't have been any different from anybody else. Anybody could have been crucified and laid in the tomb. But his resurrection proved him to be the Son of God, as he said. Not only that, but for him to rise from the grave like that guaranteed my resurrection too, that I would rise from the grave one day. And so this is what Jesus did for me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So even in baptism, we're signifying the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and showing that we believe in his resurrection, and we believe in our resurrection as well. And so Jesus rose from the grave for me. But another thing that shows me that he loves me is that he became my king. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. Mark 16 and verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus was received up into heaven, sat at the right hand of God. Where is it that we want to be? We want to be up in heaven, don't we? At the right hand of God, seated there where Jesus Christ is. So he became my king. In Ephesians chapter 1, down at verse 20, Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 20 beginning. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus Christ became my king, sitting at the right hand of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You were just there a little bit ago. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28. It says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Now, if Jesus Christ is not a king, he wouldn't have a kingdom to deliver up, would he? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, at the end, he will deliver the kingdom up to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy which he should put under his feet would be death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so there's coming a time whenever this world will end, and the kingdom will end, and Jesus will turn it back over to God, and he himself will be subject to him, and God will be all in all. Colossians 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So Jesus Christ became my king. I can be in his kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Again, there are other things that show that Jesus loves me. Jesus gave a better law so that I could be forgiven. That shows to me that he loves me. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, and we'll notice about three references here in Hebrews, so hold your finger there till we get through with this particular one. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And so Jesus then gave a better law so that I could have forgiveness of my sins, and so you could have forgiveness of your sins. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And then back up just a chapter 2 to Hebrews 9, verses 14 through 17. Hebrews 9, verses 14 through 17. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is a mediator of a new testament, a new covenant, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they were all, that they are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of no effect as long as the testator lives. Otherwise, it is no strength at all. And so as long as the one that makes the will is alive, he can change it any way he wants to. But once he is dead, then that is set. So Jesus then gave a better law, not the one under the old law that could not take away sins, but he gave one, and he is the mediator of a new testament, it said in verse 15, which shows that he gave us a new and better law through which we could have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus made me an adopted son of God. That's another way that I know that he loves me. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he adopted us into the family as his brothers in the family of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do we reprove them? Through the word of God, by the things that have been taught in his word. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What did Jesus do? He made me an adopted son in this kingdom of God. And so that shows beyond any shadow of doubt that he loves me. Another way that shows that Jesus loves me is that he sent the Spirit. Whenever he was leaving the earth and going back to heaven, he sent the Spirit that it might remind us of the things that was done while Jesus was here, that we'd not forget those things. In John 16, John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So Jesus sent the Spirit that I might know all these things that I need to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is probably one of the most familiar scriptures I've called out already. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is breathed of God, in other words, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Scripture is given for a purpose, that we may be what we ought to be. And Jesus sent His Spirit to make sure that we had that Scripture to where we'd know what we need to be. 2 Peter 1 and verse 13. Yea, and I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be reminded over and over again of the things that Jesus did for us, that we never forget the things that are there. And the Spirit was sent that we would not forget those things. Another thing that Jesus does that shows me that He loves me. Jesus forgives my sins as I confess them. In 1 John this time, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 1 John 1, this is where Brother Will has been teaching for a few weeks now. He's in the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I know that Jesus loves me because He forgives my sins as I confess them. And finally, last of all, this is number 14 on my list. Jesus loves me, and I know that He loves me because He's coming for me again. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So Jesus is coming back again. He's not coming again to establish His church as He did before. He's coming this time to accept the ones who are members of His church that have been faithful to Him. The ones we talked about the other day that will be on the right hand when He sits on His throne and judges the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us forth and delivered us from the world to come, a wrath to come. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I have one more scripture from 1 Peter, and I'm going to turn to read that one. I don't have it written on my list here. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from beginning in verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth His praise, or show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. One last scripture, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. 14 reasons that I know that Jesus loves me. And I know that that song that we sing is not just a children's song, but that's an old folk song as well. And there's so many ways that shows that Jesus loves us, and I'm sure that you've thought of other ways that's not on my list. But these serve as a reminder
that Jesus does love us. He did so much for us and continues to do so much for us. And we need to accept his teaching. We need to follow him. We need to praise him, put him first in all things in our life, and be what he would have us to be. God wants us to be in the image of his Son. Jesus left us an example to follow. Now we know that Jesus loves us without any shadow of doubt. Jesus loves me, this I know. When we sing that song, it ought to mean more to us now than it did before. If you need to obey the gospel today, there's no better time than now. I've told you all about the things that Jesus did to show his love for us. Now, how much love do we have to him? Do we have love enough for him to be obedient to his commands, to take advantage of that opportunity that he gives us for the forgiveness of sins? Hopefully so. If you need to obey the gospel, come while we stand together and as we sing.